From Ballymoney and County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran welcoming you once again in the Savior's name. I'm glad you're joining us today as the Reverend Andrew Patterson is here to let the Bible speak from Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 6. And when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, Live. Yea, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, Live. But just before we hear the message based on this verse, let's take a moment and listen to some words in song.
I don't know about tomorrow, I just live. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Tomorrow it may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me, and the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow.
Hello there, and good morning, folks, to you again. We do thank Reverend Curran for his words of introduction. I want to read one verse to you from Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 6. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. The land of Israel is again much in the news with her seeking to defend herself against the ongoing attacks from her neighbouring enemy. We know from the scriptures, of course, that it is a land that the Lord God careth for, and which was set apart for His people. And when we think of Jacob and the 70 souls that were to go down into Egypt at the behest of Joseph, so that they might be sustained throughout that time of famine, and then what a large number were to come again out of Egypt, we can only say that this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes. It was a fulfilling of the promises that God had made to Abraham, that his seed would be blessed to the extent that they could be likened to the stars for number. God said to him, so shall thy seed be. And that promise was given and the covenant ratified before even Isaac was born. And the Lord chose His people and He set His love upon them, not because they were a great nation, but because He loved them. And that love is as a husband to a wife. How tragic when that love is adulterated. And that's how it is described in this chapter of Ezekiel. Israel were unfaithful to their God. The imagery used in these words is unforgiving, and it's graphic to the extent that C.H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of London, believed that in Victorian England, a minister could scarcely read it in public. But it isn't to the latter verses in this lengthy chapter that I draw your attention to, but rather to the opening words. And in doing so, I believe we can happily apply these words in the Gospel. The people of God are termed the Israel of God in the New Testament setting. And yet as we preach, we are conscious that there are those of you who are still strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. And as such, there is a word in season to your soul even this morning. It is a command surely from God for you to live. The word that Ezekiel was to receive from God was one which graphically unfolds Israel's beginnings as a people. And from the time of her birth, we are brought forward to consider the time when she advanced into womanhood. But that which stares us in the face from these verses is her condition as the Lord found her. I want you to see there's mention made of her descent and parentage. The origin of her birth is said to be in the land of Canaan, verse 2, her father being an Amorite and her mother a Hittite. When Abraham and Sarah were to dwell in Canaan, having come from the Ur of the Chaldees, they did so beside the Amorites and the Hittites, who had dominion over the land. They were as sojourners who didn't own a piece of ground, save that burial place which Abraham was to purchase from Ephron the Hittite. Those tribes were like a mother and a father, and like those in the Ur of the Chaldees, they too were idolaters. Indeed, it must be understood that these two tribes, the Amorite and the Hittites, of all the seven nations, are mentioned because they were the worst. They were the most wicked, and above all, the most hateful in God's sight because of their sinful and wicked ways. And at times these tribes are named as representing the whole. Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, the message to Abraham was, "But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." And there God was saying to Abraham that his people, his seed, they would be strangers in a land for 400 years. But there would come that time when they would come out, they would possess the land again. They wouldn't return to their land any sooner because the sin or the iniquity of the Amorites wasn't yet complete. Obviously, when the verse speaks about the Amorites, it means the inhabitants of Canaan in general, not just one tribe. Genesis chapter 27, verse 46, is another verse which draws our attention to the fact that these were sinful nations. Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?" The very thought that one of her sons would marry one of these girls was something that vexed the heart of Rebekah. Suffice it is to say that to connect the people of God to such a parentage was one of the most impressive ways that could be used to mark their sinful and depraved nature. They were classed with the worst and the vilest of mankind. But having done so, he then proceeds to speak of their destitution and their pollution. Verse 4 in her chapter, "As for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee, thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all." The image that is given is of one who, when born, was despised and neglected. The infant was denied the very basic of care. There was no washing of it, nor bandaging, nor the applying of salt to prevent disease. It was a miracle that there was life at all. And of course this details the desperate condition the Israelites were in when in Egypt, when they were greatly oppressed and afflicted, and in very imminent danger of being destroyed. The sight of this child was unpleasant, and one of being polluted to the utmost. And see also that the condition is one of being disregarded. Verse 5, "None I pitied thee, to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou wast born." In the day in which she was born, there was a casting forth. She was considered to be worthless, so polluted that she at once was cast forth and abandoned to the elements of nature. Egypt was that open field into which she was cast. There she had no protection or consideration from the government that they were under, but on the contrary were ruled with rigour and their lives embittered. She had no encouragement given to build up their families, no help to build up their estates, no friends or allies to strengthen their interests. Everything about her was repulsive. There was nothing of beauty in her condition that would have struck a chord of compassion. From a sinful parentage, from one of being polluted and rejected and appointed to die, that is her condition as we find it in verse 6. Men and women, so it is with the sinner born into this world. As for our parentage, in the day that we were born, we were shaped in iniquity and conceived in sin. Our understandings darkened, our minds alienated from the life of God, polluted with sin, which rendered us loathsome in the eyes of a holy God. We are those under pollution, the power, and the very guilt of sin, wallowing in it, deserving of the wrath of God and liable to punishment for it, trodden underfoot, neglected and despised, and both are helpless and hopeless. And we have been so because in Adam we fell, and we have been cast off and separated from God because of our transgressions. There has never been one born of Adam's race who has not gone astray, speaking lies from the beginning. Our mouth is likened to a sepulchre. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. There is nothing of beauty in any one of us that would merit attention. Dear listener, this morning, if you're not saved, this is the condition of you. The traces and the marks of the fall are engraved and written upon each one. Our parentage is one of sin, our nature is one of pollution, and our destiny is one of appointed death and rejection eternally. Is it any wonder then that the Saviour, while he was upon this earth, said those words, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Those are not the words of an earthly preacher. Those are the words that Nicodemus, a religious man, was to hear one night as he met with Christ. "Ye must be born again." Our condition is just like Israel as she is depicted in this image of the newborn child. The curse of Adam's sin is upon us, even though there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet are not washed from their filthiness. I wonder, is that you this morning? I wonder, do you realize your condition without Christ? If that is you this morning, then I implore you to turn while in grace he speaks to your soul. Have done with your sin, repent of it, and accept Christ as the only sin-bearer and the only Redeemer who can wash you from all your sin in his own precious blood. Join me again, please, next time as we would further consider these great truths. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So, do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.